Mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Bread on an interesting, challenging week. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, covered in snow. We'll get to that in a moment. And
hang on, sorry, you are or the Tatry Mountains are?
The Tatry Mountains
are. Right, okay.
And me.
Oh, right, and you. Right.
And me. And me. In fact, I looked like a snowman last night, as one of our colleagues.
That's because of the carrot.
Thank you. This show was going so well for about 5 seconds.
What were you doing with the carrot in your trousers anyway?
Stop it! What do you think my name is? No, I'm not going to go there. Where am I? Oh, yes, I'm here. I'm in Pop Bread. Right, so joining us, as always, Lee Banks in the UK.
Hello, everybody. How wonderful it is to be back with you. I tell you what, I'm really fed up, though, because we have no snow. We're supposed to be snowed in just like you, Eric.
Yeah.
And we've got none. Well, nothing else. Well, that's it. That's all I was going to say. Well, I'm going to make cheap jibes about carrots in your pants. Is that a French thing? And I tell you, but something I did want to say.
As long as it's not a potato in my bottom, it's okay.
Well, you've got eyes in a funny place, I tell you. I was going to say, so was I.
In Portland.
What?
The weatherman in Slovakia on the telly...
Yeah.
Said, you're getting snow on Sunday, not today.
I know, but the weatherman in England said we were getting snow today.
Well, they're wrong then, aren't they?
That's what I've just said! I want to say something about the snow!
The man passing jibes at my snowman outfit is in Paris. It's the co-founder of the consumer action group, Mark Gander.
Yes, hello there from Paris. It's very grey.
Is it?
And brown.
Is it gold?
And gold. And brown.
And is it frozen still?
It's not frozen, it's brown.
Oh dear. And from upstairs in Queensland, it's Rachel.
Hello. There's no snow here.
Somebody tickling Rachel or something.
I think they are, yeah.
It's very late where I am, so I get a bit giggly this time of night.
Yeah, you know where...
We're all coming round.
Yeah, we know where Ken Dodd is now, don't we? Where was I? Oh, this is supposed to be a news programme. Oh, for goodness sake. Hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Audio Boo, and Spreaker, and RTI, and anybody else that knows. I mean, anywhere else we are. We do kind of try and look to the news. First off, we've got to say, Happy Chinese New Year, because it's the Chinese New Year. People celebrating all over the place, and billions trying to get on one train. That was a really funny programme. Just as a follow-up to last week, thank you so much for all the messages. I've only picked a couple out. One of them is from Ian, who said, Wikipedia is like Murdoch unregulated. And the other one...
terrible remark. I could take offence at that.
Yeah. And another gentleman said, I don't see why you waste your time. You never achieve anything. They're from America. Oh,
thank you.
How much do you know? And finally, it was from a gentleman who's been fighting like mad, has picked up on what we said last week, has implemented it the way we said last week, and the nasty things about him on Wikipedia have gone.
Isn't that good? Well,
that's
just
amazing.
Proves what we say about Wikipedia.
Well, that's very true, and I'm pleased that said person's had the stuff removed. And it was interesting, it did take a couple of hours after our programme went out for them to clean up all the mess that we'd been fighting.
Is this the same person as I know?
No.
Oh, this is a different one?
This is a different gentleman, a listener.
Ah-ha-ha! Well, the other person's the listener as well.
Yeah, the listener flooded in with the email. Well, actually, no, it wasn't. It was a Facebook message. And said he tried exactly what we'd said, and it worked perfectly. And after about 6 hours, the content he was complaining about for 4 years... has been removed.
Absolutely
so,
amazing.
Well done, everybody, for that. It seems that we have found a solution. If you're legitimate, don't annoy Wikipedia if you're just upset because they say you've got a spot on your chin or something. You know, it's got to be valid. And that's what I will add to it. We move on very quickly because we've got a state of emergency in three regions in Slovakia. It is quite interesting. Anybody that's been on my Facebook page will see the snow.
And yes, they've been glorious pictures.
They're nice, aren't they?
And beautiful.
And I have to say, I must admit, I have the perfect PA.
Well,
I do. I was struggled to get to the office yesterday. There was one lane open on a road, and I had to sort of say to people, "Can I park in the middle of the road, please?" So that I can run to the office, get some stuff and run out again, to which they all said yes, which was really cool. Today I get in, the snowplough's been through and created two lanes, and my PA Petra has dug through the snow to find the path at the bottom. Bless her.
She's lovely, Petra.
What are you going to do? Are you getting her a present? You.
I don't know what
get
I'm going
to do. Get her a big present.
Well, I did suggest I would kiss her on her anatomy, and she declined.
Maybe something like chocolates?
You can't kiss her on a chocolate.
That's great. Drama, isn't it?
So there depends will, what chocolates they are.
There will be more pictures of that on Facebook. And we did actually get an email from the local police here who still said, if your journey in certain parts of Slovakia is not essential when there's heavy snow, please don't go out. They had literally all the fire services, all the ambulance vehicles out in the last couple of days just to keep up to speed with minor accidents, trees that had come down on the road, cutting people from cars where they'd been silly. The emergency services were just so stressed and stretched, but they did an amazing job to keep the main roads open. But if you're going into one of the small villages, just be careful. And as I say, they said, please, if your journey's not essential, don't go, which makes a heck of a lot of sense. But of course, there's no snow in Paris or the UK, is there, gentlemen?
Absolutely not. And I think that's incredible. I just wish it was. I wish our weathermen would get their act together and tell the truth. Can I just bring a bit of culture to this show about snow?
Sure.
Hang on. Can I just, Mark, can I just check with this? Did the word culturally go together?
Culturally?
Yes.
You have to bear in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that Eric thinks culture is something you get in yoghurt.
Well, he's right.
It's right. Yes, I'm a scientific person.
I'd like to answer Eric's first question, by the way. Original question was, is there any snow in Paris? And the answer is no, it's just brown.
It seems to be a bit of an obsession with you, this. I'll tell you what.
If you lived here and you had to walk out in this every day, it'd become an obsession with you, believe me, very quickly.
Somebody told me that they knew you in Paris. I was talking to him last week, and they said it's only been there since you arrived, and that's because it's a load of bolt.
Yeah, I think he was telling you a load of old poodly. Anyway, go on, Leif.
You just back against me.
Right, shall we get on? Let's get on. Sad losses this week. Rachel,
he won't let me do my bit.
Oh, no.
I heard that.
Wow. You make my heart sing. What a great track. What a monumental track.
Even
I like that.
The best version of it was done by Oliver Reed on Michael Parkinson.
He did it, didn't he? He was drunk.
Yeah, absolutely stunning. Off his face with a pint mug of vodka in one hand and no music, just him with his shirt hanging out, singing Wild Thing.
That was
the day I decided that I would become an alcoholic.
But it's got to be said, Rachel pointed it out beautifully. There's very few tracks that do come out of the 60s and live through the course of time, but Wild Thing is one of them.
There's dozens of them.
What's that? Name them. You've got 20 seconds to name.
Relatively speaking, very few.
Very. Thank you, Mark.
I think
the million. You know,
we could make a whole show out of that. Of course, there are. The 60s music is the music which has taken over the world and remains today. as one of the most powerful influences in culture. I'm going to have a newbie culture bit in a bit. I'm going to get my slow culture bit in.
Kills you. But, oh, I mean, sad loss. He did fight against cancer, bless his heart.
Yeah.
And he did, up until a year ago, gig around Cambridge, as our Cambridgeshire reporter reported. And apparently he was really good, which doesn't surprise me because he's an all-round good egg. Also,
I interviewed him in the 80s because his career took a complete nosedive. And he packed it all in and became a butcher. He went back to being a butcher in Cambridgeshire. And it was actually wet. And that film, that awful...
Yes, Notting Hill.
Yeah, Notting Hill, what a load of rubbish that was. But it had his song Love Is All Around, and that put him back on the stage, and he started to gig again. Good on him. It's a bit sad he's gone.
Yeah, but I think the other one, do you remember a song called With a Girl Like You, Rachel?
Yeah.
Yes.
Rachel is
That's the one.
You got to understand, though, my parents, because I wasn't born in the 60s. I didn't come along till later. But my parents...
If you weren't born in the 60s, how come you're that old now, then? You know, how did it happen?
What?
Well, you know, I mean...
hang on, I just got a nosebleed. My parents didn't play all this music because they both went to the Conservatorium of Music, so they were all into classical stuff. So when I came along, it was all classical music, and yes, they were quite posh. They were quite posh, but I didn't hear any of this stuff. So it wasn't until the 80s that I actually heard all this music from the 60s and thought that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like
so I think
that.
I was ripped off. I got to have words with my parents.
To hear it, Rachel.
They just didn't. Oh, probably was. I don't think it was a censorship issue so much as they just didn't play it. It just wasn't their thing.
Okay, well, we'll move along. So we've got lots to get in this week. Also, another sad loss is the trombonist Paul Tanner from the most amazing orchestra in the modern day era, the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Died aged 95, so he had a good old innings, didn't he?
Well, but he was also part of, you know, he did the, he played with the Beach Boys, if you forgive the phraseology, and was an integral part of Good Vibrations.
Yeah.
Now, there's no vibrations from Paul Tanner anymore, but it's sad. It's a sad thing. But there again, how many of the 1960s songs like Good Vibrations have passed on into 2013?
Good Vibrations.
That one I know too.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll never forgive you for saying that.
Yeah, Good Vibrations.
what did I do wrong?
Into an era of...
Can I do my culture bit? I'm slow now.
No. Into an era of Mark and Eyes, because we were into that a little bit,
Oh, dear. Cecil Womack, he wasn't from your era.
Excuse me?
Womack wasn't from your era.
Excuse me?
Cecil Womack goes back to the 1940s.
Excuse me?
Why, what have you done, dear?
He wrote for Mary Wells.
Yeah.
The OJs.
Yeah.
Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah.
Womack and Womack.
Yeah.
Late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's not from your era. He, again, is somebody who started off in the early days of music and transcended time barriers and centuries and decades.
He does talk dribble, doesn't he?
Uncle Red Pants.
Person. It's also thank while you, Mark, you're go going on, keep on going. About Chinese keep New on, keep Year going. Or whatever.
Yes.
It's actually bubble wrap appreciation. And we ain't touching that, have we? I thought I'd just pop that in.
Thank you, Mark. Peter Gilmore, the star of the TV drama The Enidian Line, has died at a hospice in London after a long illness. He was 81. And that'll do. I need one of those moments.
Oh dear, oh
dear. You know one of those.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, go on.
Susie Perry.
It's very nice, actually.
We'll be presenting the BBC's Formula One coverage from the start of next season, replacing Jake Humphries. I have written a little piece on this. Perry, the very young and beautiful, because I always put ages journalist, previously was brilliant at presenting the BBC's MotoGP coverage for 10 years, as well as reporting on other sports to perfection. Miss Perry says, motorsport is my life. I quite agree with her. You are wonderful. She also is a stunning experience in presenting sport. Perry has presented programmes across the entertainment, technology and travel, most notably The Gadget Show on Channel 5, which died without her.
Did you write this?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You're making
sure it's not
more.
A snippet of a fan letter you wrote her.
It is. It's a bit under the covers at midnight, this, isn't it?
There it is.
But the other good news...
Yeah?
The F1 season's back!
And... Let me just say that I rest my case, having been the only person on this show who's actually been to Formula One in the last 2 years, that actually this proves that Formula One is actually just for big girls.
Yep.
What a load of rubbish Formula One is. It's like a big motorway. Oh. Isn't it, Rachel?
Yeah, it's stupid. It goes round and round circles. Can't see anything because they go too fast. What's the point in going?
That's right. It makes a load
Stinky,
of noise.
It's loud and it's horrible. We had it in my hometown of Adelaide. We had a Grand Prix there. We had a F1 Grand Prix there, and then we got rid of it because it was so boring.
We tried to educate
it
you.
It is incredibly... Rachel, I am so glad you are here. For years now, I've been arguing with old Bissner. I sit on top of a mountain top covered in snow, saying what a load of rubbish Formula One
anyway,
is.
For all the real fans, Susie Perry will be there on Formula
That's World. All it's about, Rachel. That's all it's about. He's moved his affections for you now onto Susie Perry.
Hot pants is yesterday's news.
Yeah.
Oh, Susie Perry yes.
Rachel, you're hot pants.
Do you know she did a program with a cat suit on once, did Susie Perry? Why didn't the PM speak in the debate on gay marriage? He's getting a lot of sort of hammering for it. I would suggest he was busy saving you guys in the UK money. But why all the hassle about gay marriage then?
Well, I don't really know.
He's pulled his microphone out again, the big blonker. Lee.
The microphone's come out.
Lee.
The microphone's come out.
Yes, no, Lee.
Oh, I just shoved it in the wrong hole, Rachel. Hang on.
You're such a consummate professional, aren't you?
I stretched to get me notes on gay marriage and me thing came out.
He's talking from notes and we get this drivel.
He's got to be a genius.
I think that's right, yeah. Actually, for such a learned man, Mark, how do you talk such poppycock?
I got a GCSE. What are you talking about? Yeah. In metalwork.
Yeah, we have. I've
got mine in woodwork,
Mark. What makes me wonder about this is why, if we have civil marriage for gays in the UK, right, why can't heterosexual people have a civil marriage? Why aren't heterosexual people going up the wall about the fact that we can't have a civil marriage?
Well, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Anybody I think they should be able to.
Don't really care whether you think I'm right or wrong.
Everybody should be able to if they want to.
Yeah.
I don't see the problem in it. And this is what annoys me about...
Hang on. Can't you guys have civil marriage in the UK between a man and a woman?
He's being facetious, Rachel.
But it's very easy. I mean, all you've got to do is take these heterosexual people,
yes,
and all they've got to do is turn gay, and then they can have a sort of partnership with each other, can't they?
Yeah, no problem.
So there
they have another stunning remark off our marriage.
No,
civil marriage, is really what we're actually doing. We're using the Bible to discriminate against certain people, and we should not use anything. There should be any
the
kind
Bible
of...
has always done that.
It's done it for several thousand years.
Well, really, what I'm saying is that the church, the government is now using the Bible to discriminate against people, and quite rightly, you say that, that's been going on for thousands of years.
The Bible is not the word of God.
The
government is actually saying. Yes, well, the government, not the government, because some of them abstained, 40 abstained, and I think 100 and some odd went against it.
But Absolutely, I rest my case.
But the consensus in a free vote, it wasn't a government vote.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
It was a free vote. The free vote said, no, we don't agree with that, we think gay marriage should take place, and it's up to the churches if they opt in or out.
which is the right decision to take, isn't it? What I'm saying is that the 140-odd MPs or whoever, how many there were who voted against it should be ashamed of themselves for using the Bible to create social policy.
I don't think they were. I think that was just being silly. But
Can you get a gay divorce? Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Well, they're bound to be able to somehow or other. I mean, there'll be
Interesting point, Rachel, actually. That's a really interesting point, yeah. So you can't have a gay divorce and you can't have a civil marriage if you're heterosexual. That's a...
Yeah, hold on a minute, Mark, go on. Here you go.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Sorry,
It was going to be really good.
It was going to be really good. Well, look, my point is this. What I don't understand so far...
I must apologise for talking across Mark.
Shush a minute. I don't understand so far. Is it said? It specifically said in the notes that I saw, it was all to do with the Church of England and the Church of Wales, because obviously Scotland does its own thing. And it didn't mention any other faiths in the UK. So I'm just wondering if other faiths have got to do it.
Well, no, it's not a study
question,
faith, is it?
I mean,
faith marriage, that's left down to the churches. And so, I mean, it'll be down to Islamic churches and synagogues whether they want to follow suit, won't it? But in terms of, you know, the existential civil experience, then it's going to be permitted.
Well, anyway, I think that whilst all that was going on, Cameron said what he wanted to say and he got on with some other things. So is this going to make Cameron the next UK hero? Because we hear today that the budgets that he's been fighting over when everybody else didn't want to fight over them seem to be sliced a bit.
Well, I think it's a very good thing that he's actually, after all these years, managed to do something. But you still have to ask the question of why do we want to be in the European, the economic European thing, when in fact we also want to not be in it? Why don't we stop sitting on the fence and jump one way or the other?
Because we want to be able to import horse meat from the French with no difficulty at all. That's one of the prime benefits. European like membership that. At the moment.
Right. You know? What's the French stance on all of this, Mark?
On what? On Europe or on horse meat?
Well, on Europe and Mr. Cameron going on about cutting budgets.
I don't particularly follow French news at all. I mean, I think it's very boring. I mean, I think that, you know, Hollande, who's basically, you know, a head of a government in trouble, and in fact he's a personal politician in trouble, he's very pleased to have any way of sort of, you know, deflecting blame. And of course at the moment he's blaming the Anglo-Saxons, especially the British. And I think that the French rather like that. And of course, you know, Cameron, I think, is probably doing the same thing. And, you know, they're probably all so very pleased that Mali's produced a sort of, you know, little ready-made, not-too-dangerous war to get involved in as well, because all of these kinds of things have got a history of sort of, you know, leveraging popularity.
I did notice something funny that your leader and David Cameron...
Excuse me, my leader, who's that?
Well, your French leader.
Excuse me.
The guy that runs the country that
you're in.
All right, okay, let's put it...
He's no leader of mine,
The geezer that runs the country you live in. That's it, Rachel, thank you very much.
No worries.
He was on the television shaking hands quite, you know, endearingly with Mr. Cameron. They weren't sort of like, who are you? Like the other lot were before. There was definitely a show of...
That's actually quite restrained, because actually he wanted to give him the usual French kiss on both. Cameron stopped that in case he was going to propose marriage next.
Has this news hit Australia, Rachel?
Yeah, no.
No? You're not interested?
No, we don't care. We got our own problems. Moving on.
Okay, in which case, Lee's going to get really annoyed now.
I'm not going to get annoyed. I want to tell you my cultural thing about snow.
Well, we're on to the UK. Can the UK cope with solar superstorms? Not just the UK. The whole kind of a European area.
It is a funny thing, isn't it? Because all these sunspots, my son had spots, you know. But also, I think sunspots are really starting
Lee, let's just get rid of the story. Let's kill it.
Rachel, did he just say to me that Lee's going to get really well? So as soon as I say to him, he cuts me off.
That's what winds you up. Every 13 years, there is a sunspot cycle anyway. And typically, it affects...
They're not on bikes, I tell you. They're real things floating around the sun, yes, and they cause major problems.
Typically, they upset communication satellites for a few minutes. And in fact, in the old analogue days, they were great to watch, because I sat there one day watching CNN, knowing this anomaly was going to happen, and I watched CNN fade into oblivion. 3 minutes later, it faded back to normal telly. That is the effect of solar storms.
Yes, but you're missing the point of this. The point is very simple, that the sun, which is the reason that we're actually alive, right, is an ancient star.
Yes.
And, like all old things, as you will verify, Eric, it expands with age. It gets larger. Is the solar storms spread out, and it is ultimately going to be a solar storm that wipes out our thing, what we do live on the Earth. It will wipe out the population of the Earth.
In several,
it wipe out our existence in general?
Yes,
that's
in
the
several...
word I can think of, our existence.
Look, guys, that might happen.
Hey, she's not a guy, she's a Rachel.
Guys, this might happen in several billion years' time.
It could happen, Nick. It could happen tomorrow.
No. More importantly, we've got an asteroid coming near us, which is going to cause slightly more damage, or could do potentially, as one of the... it was actually found by, I think, a Spanish dentist who's an amateur astrologer. And he was looking up in the sky and went, "Ooh-eck!"
I was going to say, was he looking in a tooth?
Yes.
Down in the mouth when he saw it. Yeah.
Kind of went, "Ooh-eck, there's a big rock coming towards us." Now, on February the 15th, it will get to its closest point. And what it will do, and I've got to do this very quickly because we're nearly out of time, it will cut underneath the communication satellites, above some of the low Earth orbit satellites.
Rachel, you explained this to me earlier.
Stop it.
So boring.
And, unfortunately, it's going to cut across Clark's Belt, which is where all the...
That'll mess up.
Stop it. Which is where all the TV satellites are around the world. And it will and it will cut across the belt twice. So there is potential for damage. But the good news is most of these guys will kind of have a game of Space Invaders. And if the asteroid gets too close to them, they can move it 70 kilometres away without any problems and should be able to drive the satellite out of the way. And you'd never even notice, because that's how modern communication satellites are. But it does have the potential to do it. And what's quite distressing is when you think of all the millions that are spent with all these space agencies around the world, especially in Australia, Rach...
Exactly.
Big time in Australia.
Yes, because we got all the room to have those big dishes and stuff.
Thank you. It takes a Spanish dentist to find the thing that, if it landed on Earth, would knock out the whole of London. Marvellous.
All you'd see. Terrible. Do you know, there was a story last year.
I've got one question. We've got 30 seconds. One question. If it did land and was forced to land on Earth, what city would you demolish? Lee, one word.
One word?
Yep.
I can't think of a word that has to do with that.
Rachel, what city would you demolish?
Sydney.
What would you demolish, Mark?
That was 8 words.
Eric. Give me a break.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.